Later today, we'll get the latest on global climate science when the first part of the fifth assessment report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, will be released in Stockholm in Sweden. There have been plenty of leaks already from the report, including that scientists are now 95% certain of the human fingerprint in climate change. The report documents exponentially rising greenhouse gas emissions, and it's understood it predicts that within 25 years, without cuts to emissions, the world will cross the threshold of dangerous climate change. Our environment editor, Greg Borschmann, joins us this morning with a preview of the report. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Philip.
6 years in the making. What do we know already about this report? It's looking at the physical science basis of climate change, isn't it?
Yes, Philip. Look, this is very much, the headline is all about certainty. Scientists are now saying that they're 95% certain that more than half of the warming that the world has seen since the 1950s has been caused by human activity. That's up from 90% in the last report back in 2007. So in terms of the science, you're on pretty thin ice if you choose to argue that anthropogenic climate change is a myth. It's clearly not. And that evidence for the human fingerprint directly links to what is the most sobering part of this report. This is the section on emissions. For all three of the main greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, the nitrogen oxides or the NOx gases, they're all increasing exponentially. And for example, carbon emissions grew three times faster in the last decade than they did in the previous decade.
Okay, so what does this mean for the future? Do we get any sense of that from the report?
Yes, and this is significant. For the first time, the IPCC looks at the so-called global carbon budget. And I'm sure you'll be very keen to know, Philip, that it's actually called the compatible or allowable quota of carbon. This is the amount of carbon that we can put into the atmosphere before we hit 2 degrees of warming. Now, you'll remember that's what the world signed up for back in 2009, the Copenhagen Accord. Nations agreed that anything more than 2 degrees warming would push us into that territory of dangerous climate change. Well, this report predicts that at current emission levels, we'll be there within 25 years. And perhaps more significantly, the report says that if the current growth in emissions continues, we'll be there even sooner, within 20 years. Now, because of this global focus on that 2 degrees threshold, this report has looked very closely at what it means. And for the first time, the IPCC is saying that by 2080, the world will need to be actively removing carbon from the atmosphere. Now, Philip, this is almost impossible to overstate the significance of this, because this is not just stabilizing global emissions or hitting zero emissions. This is actually the global economy having to run on negative emissions, all with technology so far unproven and with unknown consequences.
Well, there's a catalogue of bad news. Is there any good news?
Absolutely. Believe it or not, there is. Annual emissions from land use change, mainly deforestation, have declined by about 10% since the last report. That a lot of that is thought to be the result of policies in Brazil to slow deforestation, mainly in the Amazon, of course. But it's also a function of some recent very wet years in the tropics, but especially in our neck of the woods, Southeast Asia. Deforestation here is largely driven by fire, so wetter years, less burning, more forest. It's a simple equation. So perhaps that's the upside, Philip, to the new statement in the report that scientists now say they're 90% certain there's human influence detectable in the global water cycle. In other words, that the tropics and the poles will get more rain and wet areas will get wetter, and in the mid-latitudes and the desert belts, they'll get less rain. Dry areas will get drier.
In recent weeks, there's also been plenty of discussion in some media outlets claiming that the IPCC is admitting, quote, we got it wrong. Now, this is all about the observed pause, or at least slowdown, in global warming since 1998. Has the IPCC got it wrong, and does the report address this issue?
Absolutely. The sceptics have been hammering this so-called pause in global warming for some time now, a slight pause over the same period that emissions have been climbing exponentially. So it's been used to cast doubt about the link between human carbon emissions and global warming. And this report is expected to make it crystal clear that, number one, warming is continuing. Yes, there's been a slowdown in the rate of warming, but nevertheless, each of the last three decades have been warmer than the preceding decade. This new report also has a much greater focus on the role of the oceans in the Earth's energy system. And the conclusion is that oceans have been masking or slowing that increase in surface temperature. So, in other words, the world is still warming, but much of that extra energy is now being observed at the deeper depths of the oceans. It's also likely there's going to be another new statement on extreme weather. Scientists are saying it's, quote, very likely that we'll see an increase in the frequency of heat waves in countries like Australia and across Asia and Europe.
Okay, so what does this all mean for the future of the IPCC? Because both the organisation itself and its processes have attracted plenty of criticism, or at least bad headlines.
Absolutely, and that's the great irony, isn't it? Because you'll remember the last assessment report back in 2007 got a big gong. It won a Nobel Peace Prize. But it's important to understand the IPCC is a government organisation. It's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. 195 member countries, around 110 of those member nations have turned up this week in Stockholm, literally going through the text line by agonising line. This is the 30-page summary for policymakers that will be released later today.
So it's hardly a collection of undergraduate agitators whipping up undue alarm, Greg.
Philip, you're right. This is not a global conspiracy. It's hard to find a more transparent process anywhere. The report relies on 209 lead authors, almost 1,000 of the world's top climate experts. They've sifted through more than 9,200 scientific papers. They've responded to more than 54,000 review comments. And the incredible thing, it's all voluntary. These scientists aren't doing it for big buckets of grant money or personal enrichment. In fact, it's almost impossible for us to imagine just how time-consuming and demanding this process is. One Australian scientist I spoke to this week, an author of one of the chapters, has had around 11,000 emails over recent years dealing with his part of the report.
Yeah, despite the work, though, last time around there were a couple of important mistakes, though, weren't there?
Absolutely. Not in the summary document, but the main working group report, and they generated the screaming headlines. It wasn't a good look for the IPCC. One of those errors was a projection that the Himalayan glaciers could disappear by 2035. Well, that was plain wrong. It was quoted from a report by WWF that in turn had misquoted another report from the International Commission for Snow and Ice. And the IPCC fessed up pretty quickly. Look, the reality is, Philip, it created more heat than light, more clamour than substance. The IPCC openly investigated it and a couple of other alleged mistakes, and they found that they were, quote, generally unfounded and also marginal to the main assessment.
The reality is, isn't it, Greg, that the IPCC actually is a pretty conservative organisation, isn't it? It doesn't go out on a limb with these things.
Incredibly conservative, and you'll see that later today with predictions for sea level rise and temperature projections out to 2100. The June draft report talked about a range of 1 to 3.7 degrees by the end of the century. That's little change since the last report, but there will be a higher estimate for sea level rise because there's a much clearer formal acknowledgement in this report of huge future uncertainties, where the role of aerosols, clouds, yes, fewer clouds, more warming, and also the big uncertainties surrounding the future of the Greenland and the Antarctic ice sheets. These aren't even factored into the current models, and that's the absolute wild card for sea level rise.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, so where to from here?
Well, the final two reports from Working Group 2 and Working Group 3, they'll be published in March and April next year. These will look at future risks and finally options for mitigation, but it's speculated the report will project global emissions need to be cut by 10% in the near term to remain under that 2 degrees threshold of dangerous climate change. That has obvious domestic implications here in Australia, with the new government committed to the low end of its target range, 5% by 2020. But, Philip, look, the reality is what pressure this report or any series of new reports that the IPCC might come up with will put on the world's policymakers in the immediate future it's the trillion-dollar question. At the moment, the only thing for certain is that we're currently tracking faster than ever before to a climate change future.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Philip.
Greg Bushman, our environment editor, and that summary for policymakers of the IPCC's fifth assessment report is due out around 6 p.m. this evening, that's Eastern Australian time. And the full 2,000 pages and 14 chapters of the Working Group 1 report will be on the web by Monday, and we'll have a detailed package on the report there from Greg. He's spoken to some of Australia's leading climate scientists who've been involved in its preparation.